We have our regular Friday segment with Joe Riccio called Shut Up and Eat. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, good to be here. How are we doing?
We're doing okay. We're doing okay, man. We'll spill this here. I was telling Joe offline that we have the pigs back from where they go after they spend their happy summer. And they're in the freezer, and the cows will be in the freezer soon, and the chickens will be in the freezer soon. So I was started thinking about fall food, and I was thinking about the transitions we make. And what should we be thinking about, Joe, as we're transitioning? Not yet, I realize it's going to be 80 degrees this weekend, but as we transition from summer into fall.
Well, it's funny actually you mentioned that, because all I can smell right now in my house is roast pork, because I've had a pork roast in the oven since like 9:30 this morning. Brined for a couple days, rubbed down with like brown sugar, cumin, coriander, garlic powder, onion powder. I put a little cider vinegar in the roasting pan. The things, you know, more, it just smells ridiculous in here. And it's, you know, it's still got a few hours to go, because I like to put it in at like 500 and then immediately drop it down to 220. So it gets the crust and then literally just goes to 220 for the rest of the day until it, you know, starts falling apart.
Oh, that sounds so good. My house smells like beer. We were making beer this morning, but I'd rather it smelled like roast pork. Now, roasts are one
of... breath smells like whiskey, if that...
Oh, that I could be there with you. The the thing about roasting, I think, a lot of people have always had this, you know, they don't listen to new things. So you're talking about putting them in the oven real high, sometimes even in a hot skillet, and then lowering the temperature to create a much moister roast than everybody putting everything in at 350 and cooking it for 25 minutes a pound.
Exactly. It's like, and then there are some people also who do the high heat at the end, which also works. You can put it in, let it come to temperature. Then I like it. If I do that, I take it out of the oven, let it rest for half an hour, then put it back into the screaming hot oven, because it'll just crisp the outside but won't have any effect on the internal temperature.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the whole 350, I'm like, yeah. I mean, I brine this thing just because I probably didn't really need to, cooking it the way I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't understand the really straightforward roasting methods. It always kind of produces the sort of food that I ate growing up and was just never that impressed with, you know?
Right. It wasn't as good as it is now. And
it's like, why do people make a big deal out of this? This isn't very good.
Well, and with roasts, I think a lot of people also have this idea that the only thing you can do is throw in a carrot and a potato and maybe a little slice of onion. But there are a lot of things you can do, like you said, cider vinegar or apple vinegar or something like that that you're putting in. What are the other kinds of things you like to throw in the roasting pan?
In the roasting pan itself, like I said, I'm more involved with getting in with a dry rub and all that, you know, and then the cider vinegar more keeps the moisture sort of in that, you know, it makes the house smell amazing, but it just kind of, it keeps everything kind of moist in there. If I'm actually roasting and I'm going to, you know, to eat what's in the roasting pan, I mean, literally any array of, you know, parsnips, rutabaga, potatoes, obviously onions. I mean,
you like leeks? I like leeks a lot.
Leeks, exactly. Anything that basically you can kind of char or braise can go in there, you know? The problem is I tend to do these roasts for so long that I think anything I put in there will probably be obliterated.
Right.
You know, usually if you leave anything in a pan besides the big piece of meat for 10 hours, it's not going to look too hot. It's like eating out of a stock pot after you make chicken stock, you know?
So of the other kinds of cuts that we might be looking at in the cooler weather, what's one of your favorite things to cook?
I love any kind of shank, lamb shank, veal shank, you know, just the kind of thing you get that nice kind of sear on the outside and then just let it cook in stock or whatever for a red wine or, you know, like that. Also things like coq au vin, you know, like get the chicken with red wine and bacon and pearl onions and that stuff. That's winter to me, you know. Like, I eat heavy food all year round, but those flavors are definitely anything with like a lot of like thyme, sage, rosemary. Like rosemary to me is like the ultimate winter herb.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think one of the other things that a lot of people miss out on that don't eat quote heavy food at different times is heavy food fills you up faster. You know,
yes,
and then,
as it turns out, yes, it does.
And then you can always pause and then fill yourself up again with it. But yeah, one of the things,
not the American way, though, to pause. You're supposed to just eat until,
right,
you know,
eat until you can't move.
Right.
Do you ever cook with brandy?
With brandy, I cook, if I'm making like a lobster bisque or something, like, mm-hmm. I like to flambe the lobster shells in brandy or cognac. That's anytime I'm pretty much flambeing something, it's usually with brandy.
Now, I like to make stews, and I like to use farfalle with them because it's a nice hard pasta. Do you have favorite kind? I mean, there are a lot of people that say, well, I don't like all those funny ones. I just like spaghetti. For cooking, I love farfalle. I like certain rigatonis. Are there pastas that you prefer with this kind of food?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think rigatoni and fusilli, because you want something with a lot of, you know, ridges and places for the sauce to kind of go in and hang out in. You know, spaghetti in, you know, the Italians don't serve spaghetti with saucy dishes. Like, spaghetti is something where it's almost like the spaghetti is the star of the dish. So you're maybe going to do some herbs or meat, you know, cheese or whatever, olive oil. But with the saucy ones, they'll usually go with a wider, like tagliatelle or pappardelle, because you want something that can, you know, scoop up some of that sauce and crazy deliciousness with it. So I think, you know, if you're using dried pasta, rigatoni and fusilli are pretty, pretty good. I can't really go wrong there.
You ever
hey,
make...
Joe.
Oh, go ahead, Rich.
Joe, this is Rich. Listen, I need your help. I need your help, Joe.
Okay, all right.
I'm on the road. I'm in Virginia. I'm eyeing the menu for the place I think we're going for dinner. Oh. Here are my choices. Right. It's a burger bar. Tell me what you think. Here's choice number one.
Okay.
Timber Creek beef, jalapeno jack, sriracha mayo, fresh jalapenos, grass-fed chili, house brioche. That's one burger. Or Timber Creek beef, pit smoked pork belly, McClure Swiss, black onion, fried farm egg, garlic aioli, and truffled brioche.
Touchdown. Okay.
Well, I gotta say the word truffled brioche make me angry. I don't like
too
brioche
precious.
Burgers to begin with, and if you're truffling brioche, if it's any year other than 1995. I just don't understand how that came to be. And also, like, you know, the first burger sounds like something I would make at home, like, you know, with the sriracha mayo, the chilies. What else did you say was pepper jack cheese.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That sounds good. The other one just sounds like a circus.
I don't really
want pork belly on my burger. I like those things separate. I'm a little nitpicky about cheeseburgers. Because I don't like, I'm not that like man versus food guy. Want seven layers of things and something I can't fit in my mouth.
How about the egg on your burger? I'm not a big fan of the egg on the
all
burger.
All day. Really? Oh, I love the anything. I think egg on anything, maybe except like ice cream, is pretty awesome. Egg yolk is like, I mean, who needs any other condiment if you have runny egg yolk all over the damn thing?
All right, I'm going with your choice. I'm all over it.
Yeah, and tell them to stop using brioche bun.
I'll ask them. I will ask them when I walk in. Have you updated the menu since 1995?
Yeah, Joe Riccio says. And
exactly.
Actually, next week, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going, but you'll see I'm going to post about someplace on Monday that I'm going on Sunday that we'll definitely be discussing on the next week's show.
Well, I like the looks of where you were last Sunday at the Saigon. That looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah, Saigon is just like one of those things. It's just like it never lets me down, you know. And then they give you free soup while you look at the menu. It's like you can't really go wrong with Saigon. Also, but I'm obsessed with the Big Fin tuna poke bar out in Westbrook. They're opening one in South Portland as well. That's actually one of my favorite places to eat right now in Maine. It's just like you go in and you order. It's almost like being at a Chipotle, but it's like, you know, delicious raw fish and rice and tons of condiments, and it's not expensive. It's amazing.
At Saigon, when you have pho, do you prefer pho or pho guy? You a chicken or a beef guy?
It depends on where I am. If I'm at Saigon, I like the pho gai. If I go to Huang's, I like the beef pho. So it all depends. Everybody kind of does different ones better. There's a place called Kong Tu Bot in Portland that does the best chicken pho I've ever had. But yeah, I guess it all depends. Sometimes I don't like it when some places use too much white meat in their chicken pho, and it's like dry, and I think that's really annoying.
Well, that's a great tour of food. We've gone from shanks to roast to pho. Joe, thank you so very much, and we will talk to you again next week, and I cannot wait to see where you're going next.
All right, Rich, enjoy your burger.
Thanks, Joe. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Joe Riccio with Shut Up and Eat.